It's one of those moments that you remember forever. Sam Hamill wanted to show me something in his home that he knew I would appreciate. He carefully lifted up an object about 3 feet high and 10 inches or so wide. The front appeared to be fossilized maple, and on it said the word Habitations. Each black page in the book was an original painting by Ian Boyden, with the lines of Sam's poetry etched by laser into the black. He dragged from the river an ancient cedar log, half petrified, and used it to bind a book. From shark tooth, cuttlefish, and fossilized ear bone of whale, pigments for ink, from stone, the soul of stone, earth from earth, transformed, transfixed, from thistle and feather, a made thing, and yet it is an organism. It has a life. If it was true that this remarkable $10,000 book slash work of art was an organism and had a life, I at least wanted to be its friend. The collaboration, the poem, and the latest chapbook by Sam Hamill is the subject of our interview today with the founding editor of Copper Canyon Press and the author of more than 40 volumes of poetry, essays, and celebrated translations from ancient Japanese, Chinese, Greek, Latin, and Estonian. Border Songs, published by Word Palace Press, is the chapbook. Ian Boyden is an artist and writer currently working in the Blue Mountains southeast of Walla Walla, Washington. His practice in paintings and books displays a fundamental drive to link the literary, material, and visual imagination. He makes his own paints and inks from unusual materials such as meteorites, shark teeth, and freshwater pearls. His work has been exhibited widely and is found in many public collections, including Reed College, the Portland Art Museum, the Victoria and Albert Museum, and museums in China. IanBoyden.com. Gentlemen, thanks for coming today.
My pleasure.
This is exciting. Now, Sam, you've told the story about how you first connected with Ian, but maybe you should tell it again for our listeners.
Well, I was at an Associated Writing Programs convention in Vancouver, B.C., and somebody said, hey, there's some guy here who prints books the way you do. And he's way in the back in the corner in the book room. So I went back to see what this was all about. Ian wasn't there, but his wife was, and I looked at a number of these books and said, wow, and I think I gave her my card as I was leaving and said, I'd like to be in touch. And she said, wow, you're Sam. Ian knows all about you. So there was a kind of relationship between us before there was a relationship between us.
It's funny how that happens sometimes.
Yeah. Karmic cookies.
Yeah, well, karmic cookies. After 30, 40 years, sometimes these things happen, huh?
You can get pretty hungry between those cookies.
Right. Ian, yeah. So what was your side leading up to that?
Well, it's kind of funny. I like this karmic cookies a bit. It's a good one. I started Crab Quill Press in 1997, 98. And when I started that press, one of my primary models was Copper Canyon and Sam's books, and I was really aware of his stuff. So it was an incredible vindication of that vision to have Sam suddenly show up there in Vancouver, and we got together from there.
What was it about Copper Canyon books that appealed to you?
Well, I really love poetry, and I'm really interested in books which have a beautiful tactile sense to them, something which kind of moves beyond your typical, offset publication, and something which shows that care, the love of the hand, is evident in the book. When I encounter a book like that, I want to sit down with it. I have some sort of trust in that book, which goes beyond your typical piece.
Yeah, trust or this kind of feeling, this kind of resonance or something like that.
Yeah, that there's a great chance that that book is going to move you in some way.
So there were probably 3 or 4 steps between that moment in Vancouver and Habitations. What happened since then?
Well, Ian gave me a book and some catalogs, and I kind of went to school on them. And out of the experience of looking at his paintings, I wrote the first Habitation to him. The part you read is about him. So the first of the 3 Habitations is directly about Ian's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that it's actually it's kind of a funny story from my perspective. After we met in Vancouver, then Sam and I began to write back and forth. And he'd send me various books of his that he found as he was cleaning up his library or whatnot. And I'd send him catalogs and things that I was working on. And I remember one day I had a painting that I really liked, and I thought, you know, I have all this stuff of Sam's, and I'm not sure if I've ever thanked him. So I wrote him a note, and I packed up this painting, and I sent it to him. And then I didn't hear anything from him. And we were actually writing back and forth really, you know, pretty often. I thought, oh man, he hates this thing, or, you know, like, he doesn't know what to say, like, thanks for the garbage. And a couple months go by, I don't remember how long it was, and I finally thought, well, gosh, you know, I'm just going to contact him and say, look, you know, I really love our communications, and, you know, throw the painting away, let's, like, start anew, whatever. And I got this great note back from Sam just within minutes. He's like, no, nothing of the sort. You know, your painting, I don't have any space on my walls to put this thing. So I've had it in my chair next to me, and it's been my drinking partner for the last 2 months. And
it's sort of like a modified Clint Eastwood thing.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, he's been talking to the chair. Yeah, that's going to be a bad sign, Sam. And about 2 weeks later, or a week later, the first stanza of Habitations arrived.
What, I mean, you know, it's probably a lot like the experience I had when I first saw that book, but what was the experience when you first get that poem?
It was amazing. You know, it was probably the first poem that had ever been given to me, you know, dedicated to me, and that first piece, and I read it, and I just kept rereading it, and I took it home, and you know, I read it to my wife, and then I called everybody. I was like, ah, you got to check this thing out. And what I didn't know was that there were 10 more stanzas that were coming to me. So I thought I was completely happy with one stanza, and I was on top of the world. And then this other thing arrived, and it changed my life.
Yeah. How so?
Well, Sam wrote this whole poem, and it references all these conversations that he and I had, references, you know, my own painting and my own process, all the stuff that is dearest and closest to my heart that I had shared with him. And when I received that poem, for me, it was an invitation to use that poem, then to paint into that poem itself. So the poem, which was a result of Sam looking at my paintings, then became an invitation for me to paint into the poem itself. So it became this kind of amazing reciprocal relationship. And that project I ended up working on that for dedicating an entire year of my life to that action. It was one of the most interesting, self-informing projects of my life.
And happens very organically, how the whole thing unfolds. You look at it as a product, and you think, boy, they were working together. You know, this was planned and what have you, the way it comes together. But it wasn't exactly like that. I mean, it just kind of fell together in a way, didn't it?
Yeah, I think in the way that the best things do. You know, there was a lot of shared information there, and when there's that much which has been brought up into play and it's floating out there, and you trust the organic quality of that thought, then something is going to unfold.
Yeah.
You know, before you arrive at this organic product, the fields of the imagination have to lie fallow a while. There's a period of gestation. So while he's working on what to do with this poem that I wrote, that took me several months to write, while he's gestating on that poem and thinking about a way to do something else with it, to take it to another step, I'm working on the second Habitation, unbeknownst to him. And really, in some ways, until I was well into it, unbeknownst to me. I didn't begin to see the three-poem cycle until I was almost done with Terroir, the wine and earth poem. And after, you know, after we drink the earth, what's left? The edible earth. So the process is organic, and it one loops around and loops around and loops around. But it's not something that happens quickly, spontaneously. It's something that happens through gestation. And then, in the spontaneous moment, you've done all of the
groundwork,
all the preparatory work, all the groundwork.
Right. Talking with Sam Hamill and Ian Boyden about their collaboration called Habitations.